Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, you want to give a title to a message like this that's going to be helpful from the very beginning? Give it this: quit worrying. Quit worrying. I'll tell you what, worry is a sin. Worry is the torment of our bodies. Now look at what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4, begin with verse 6. Be careful for nothing. There it is. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what? There are a lot of people, a lot of people you've met, a lot of people I've met. Sometimes I fit this category more times than I care. Sometimes you fit this category. Lots of people we meet are concerned and careful about something. Many times concerned about many things. And it just seems to be the nature of human beings to worry about a thing. Now, worry is a sin. And worry reveals a lack of trust in God. Worry reveals a lack of gratitude. Worry reveals a lack of fellowship with God. We've got to get past this worrying. We've got to listen to what Paul told the Philippians here in verses 6 and 7, and we've got to do what he said. And we've got to quit doing what he told us not to do. He said, be careful for nothing. Now, anytime I think of that carefulness like that, I'm reminded of what happened to Mary and Martha back there in Luke chapter 10. Mary's sitting there having fellowship with Jesus Christ. Martha's preparing supper. And after a little while, Martha is not very happy about it, preparing supper and not getting help out of Mary. So she goes in and gets Jesus Christ riled up, or tries to, about the situation. And this is what the Lord said: Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But if that doesn't sound like us half the time, I don't know what does. You know, as fast-paced as our world is now, and as much as we get tied into so many different things, it is easy to be careful and troubled about many things. But the Lord goes on to say, but one thing is needful. Now, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is here in the earth, when he stops to tell you one thing is needful, then that ought to become a priority in the life of every Christian on this earth. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, I want to make sure that whatever it is I'm doing is a good part in the Lord's estimation, and I want to be sure that it's not taken away from me. You know what it is? To sit at Jesus' feet and have fellowship with him. Well, you know, you can't see the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in essence, you can do what she did today by having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because John told us that we can, and we know that we can, we know that we do, and we know that we need more of it. Now, we've got to get on and not be like Martha, who is careful and troubled about many things. And we need to do that thing that is needful, like Mary did. Choose that good part. We've got a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't be taken away. You said, man, Brother Welder, I would absolutely love to be able to do that. You know, I get home from work, people say, and I jog, and I exercise, and I go to the movies, and I blah, 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 to get over all this worry. Hey, those things have their place. They have their place. Sometimes they don't have their place. But let me tell you something. That's not the way to get over worry. The way to get over worry is to do what Paul said to do in the rest of this verse here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The first thing he said to do is pray over everything. Pray over everything. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. We'll deal with the next word later. In everything by prayer. Then that means not to leave anything out. Nothing. You know, the idea is there are a lot of people today that won't begin to pray until they get into a real crisis situation. Now, I read an article just the other day about an airplane crash, and the transponder could pick up voices of people saying, oh, God, help. Help us, Jesus. Now, it may very well be that the people who were saying those things on the airplane spent a great deal of time praying at other times as well. But it might also be that they didn't, because it's very typical for us to neglect prayer until there is an emergency and then begin to seek out the Lord God suddenly and cry out for help. Been going on like that for thousands of years. Nothing new to this generation. But you know something? We're very, very slack to pray over those things that don't seem to mean much to us or perhaps much to God. But if that's the case, then why did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing? You know, there are a lot of people that like to use the expression today, 24/7. Well, obviously, when you're asleep, you're not going to be praying, but you can pray yourself to sleep, and you can pray when you arise in the morning. You can pray the rest of the time. You're good to pray over meals. Well, thank God for that. I hope you do it in the restaurants as well. You're good to pray over meals. You're good to pray over important matters. You're good to pray over your family. That's good. That's good. But he said, in everything by prayer. Why don't you take those things you're worrying about and lift those up to the Lord God in prayer and leave them there? Like 1 Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, once you cast that on the Lord and then let him deal with it, you can be earnest and you can continue to pray about it, but you don't have to worry about it. Look, once you've talked to the Lord Jesus Christ about it and put it in his hands, he will take care of it when he is ready and when it is time. And if he doesn't take care of it, you can be sure that something else was up, but you did what you could by prayer. No reason to worry. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You shouldn't worry about tomorrow. It hadn't come yet, and then not a whole lot you can do about tomorrow except do what you're supposed to do today. Best preparation in the world. So many people are so hamstrung by worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, they don't take care of what they need to today, and then when tomorrow comes, they're not ready. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus also said in another place, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Yes, it is. And certainly you don't want to be worried about the things that took place in the past. You might want to learn from your mistakes, but to worry? What are you going to change about it? There's nothing you can do. Look, Jesus Christ gave a parable in Luke chapter 18, and you know what he said about that? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's easy to grow weary in a good thing like prayer. He said, don't wear out with it. Keep praying. Keep talking to me. You know, a lot of times when they get those 911 emergency calls, a lot of times the dispatcher will leave the line open and said, whatever you do, leave the line open and just keep talking to me. I like that. Whatever you do, the Lord would say, just keep the line open and keep talking to me. Stay in there in prayer. Pray over everything. And look, it's always going to be the thing that you leave out in prayer, no matter how small and insignificant the thing seems to be at the time that you leave it out. It's going to be that thing that's going to creep up and going to get you. You know what Solomon said about those little things that are neglected in prayer? He says, The little foxes spoil the vine. The little foxes spoil the vine. And they do. They do. It seems like when you get into a crisis situation, there is a resolve, there is a character that just meets that thing head on, and you do whatever you have to do to get through it. But man, I'll tell you, get a little thing, $5 charge on your phone bill that you didn't make on a Saturday when you can't do anything about it till Monday. And I mean, tell you, it's going to drive you nuts till you can pick up the telephone and tell somebody about it. We're that way. Seems to be so natural with us. The Lord said, do the unnatural. Do the supernatural. Pray. Pray what? Pray over everything. That's what Paul said to do. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Now, you know there are those really bad things that come up. And I mean, they really demand a lot of your attention. All right? In those really desperate times, humbly and earnestly pray. Humbly and earnestly pray. There are a number of things that you and I can pray over. Lay it up before the Lord one time and be satisfied. God's going to take care of it in His time. You don't have to sit there and keep worrying the throne of grace over those little insignificant things. But you do need to pray over them. And you need to know you prayed over them. You need to know you brought those things up to the Lord and that the Lord's going to take care of them. You need to know that. All right. Having done that, there are going to be those major deals. They come up from time to time. And when those things come up, that's the time to humbly and earnestly pray. And where do you get that from? Well, that's here in verse 6 as well. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is an earnest and humble petition before the Lord. Very earnest in that you've got to have, God's got to get on it. But humble in the sense that you are not making, what do you call it, unreasonable demands upon the Lord. You're coming in with humility. How did the Lord Jesus Christ come in a very desperate time in His life to the Lord God? Well, He had a very desperate time in His life in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when He went up there, He left His disciples, took three, He put them down, and He said, all right, I'm going to go a little further. He got over there, and what did He do? He got on His face before God His Father, very humble, and said in so many words, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You know, if this cup can pass from me, that's what I want you to do. But not my will, but thine be done. Oh, there was a lot of humility in that. He prostrated himself before the Father. He came to Him and submitted His will to the Father's will and left it in His hands. But you know something? He was very earnest in that. Prayed three times. He came back there and He told Peter, He said, what, you couldn't watch and wait with me an hour? So it looks like the Lord was over there praying that first time for a solid hour. That's a long time. That's a long time to be in prayer. But you know something? When you're earnest, you might pray for 10 hours over a matter or days over a matter when it's desperate. And you'll meet those desperate situations in your life. Everybody does. And the thing to do in those times is to be very humble and yet very earnest in your prayer. What does it say? The fervent, earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, this humility thing, boy, I'll tell you what. I get tired of my own flesh doing this, and I get tired of hearing other people's flesh do this. Everybody is always throwing out their chest and saying, talking big and saying, I want my rights. And when they say that, and I mean, I'm talking in a spiritual context. I mean, it certainly happens in the world. That's been going on for generations and millennia. But people do that stuff with the Lord. I want my rights. You know, when you claim your rights, that means somebody else has to give up their rights in order for you to have the rights you think you deserve. And I'll tell you, sometimes, many times, there are conflicts in those things. And that's why humility is absolutely necessary, because you don't have a right. Apart from the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is none. When you are born, you have a right to die. You have a right to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to get yourself out of hell. And the rest of it's living. Everybody thinks everybody else ought to violate and give up all of their right in order that you can have what you want. It's selfishness. People will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and pray in his name up to God the Father and say, I deserve clemency and mercy because they are so bad to me. Well, look, you know, it's a strange thing how the whole world is against you. And it's a strange thing how when you finally get what you wanted, you're not satisfied and you're still worried. Look, that's no way to talk to God. And we'll go back over here to Nehemiah chapter 9 for just a second. I'm going to show you this humility thing. Nehemiah chapter 9, watch this thing. What are you worried about? Nehemiah is coming before the Lord to make a covenant. They are in trouble with God. Verse 8, they're going to make a covenant to God concerning the land and so forth like that because they've been out of line with the Lord. All right, now coming down through here, Nehemiah in his prayer is recounting the history of God's relationship with the Jews, talking about giving them the Holy Sabbath there in verse 14. And then in Nehemiah 16, watch what he says about his fathers, that is, the patriarchs, the guys that were out there in the wilderness that went into the land of Canaan. They and our fathers dealt proudly. See how he's calling them proud? And hardened their necks and hearkened not unto thy commandments. And that was true. Look again at verse 26 and notice how he talks about them. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. See how that's all about them, see? All about them. But now notice when he's wrapping up this thing before the Lord, now notice what he says in verse 33. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us. In other words, the thing that Nehemiah and all the rest of them have been suffering, God was just in doing it. For thou hast done right. See, there you go. God has rights, not you, not me. Thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. The whole time he's been leading up to this, he was talking about the fathers bringing down this trouble upon that generation. They did this and they did that and they rebelled and they slew thy prophets and they were disobedient and they made a golden calf and they dealt proudly. See all that stuff? And then notice what he says in verse 33. But we have done wickedly. Ah, I love it. You see, because that's the humility of a man that says, I'm not blaming them for the trouble that we are in. We have done wickedly. Thou hast done right. Now that is the real truth and element of repentance. That's it right there. You're right, I'm wrong. That's it right there. And the things I'm doing wrong, I'm going to keep working on after I get saved to try to get those things out of my life by the grace of God. That's continual repentance. He says about God in verse 31, you're a gracious and merciful God. And then he's got a petition in there in verse 32. Let not all the trouble seem little before thee. We're going to make this covenant, help us hold to it. Now that's the way to come in desperate times. Humbly, you nobody else to blame but yourself, and earnestly petition before the Lord in humility, ask God to get involved in the thing. There's no reason to worry. Just humble yourself and quit worrying about how everybody else is to blame. They're not. God's big enough to take care of you in spite of what everybody else does. If he was big enough in one night to kill 185,000 Syrians that were getting ready to destroy Hezekiah and his men down there in Jerusalem, hey, God can take care of your little problems. Be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication. Then what he says, with thanksgiving. You've got to be thankful for everything. I used to read this thing here. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And I noticed over there in 1 Thessalonians, he used the same, preposition? In everything give thanks. I said, woo, I don't have to give thanks for everything, just in everything. I don't have to give thanks for the broken leg. Is just while I'm in that trial, I can be thankful to God. But then I came across Ephesians 5:20. I wasn't very happy about it when I did either, I must admit. You know why? Because in Ephesians 5:20, Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Ugh. You know, it's awfully hard to thank God for trouble. It is. It's so contrary to human nature, and it's, boy, I'll tell you, just, you don't want to thank God for those things. But let me tell you something. If you've really prayed over everything, and if you come earnestly and humbly in those desperate situations, and you've talked to God about those things, Romans 8:28 is true, is it not? All things work together for good to them that love God, you do, and who are called according to his purpose, you are, and you're sitting there putting that stuff up before the Lord in prayer, and all of a sudden something bad happens, and you thank God for all things. In all things, give thanks. Tough to do. You know what? Paul talks about it in Philippians. Paul talks about it in Ephesians. Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians. Paul talks about it in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. You know what? This guy was thankful. He had no more rank, no more reputation, no friends left when he gave his first answer in Caesar's court. He'd been beat up, trashed, shipwrecked, starving, thirsty. He says, I'm thankful. I'm happy. How you doing? You want to quit worrying? Thank God. Just quit worrying. Every time worry starts to come up in your mind and your heart, you know what you need to do? You just need to drop your knees and start thanking God. Pray over everything. Deal with Him humbly and earnestly in the desperate situations. And just start thanking Him for everything. You know something? Your worry will pass. The stress will leave your arms. The stress will leave your head. The headache will go away. Your stress will leave your neck. Your stress will leave your heart. The stress will leave your gut. You'll even have a good attitude for a change. Your husband will get home or your wife will get home and go, wow, what's happened to you? Said, I just decided I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to thank God. When I started to worry, I dropped to my knees and thanked Him instead. You talk about a profound effect. You might even be able to lead somebody to Jesus Christ with an attitude like that. Would to God we all could. Be thankful for everything. What's the fourth thing you need to do? Don't complain to God. Don't complain to God. He's sovereign. He's in charge of everything. For a Christian, there's no chance happened to you. He said in here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your complaints be made known unto God. Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said at all. He said, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't complain to God. He's not interested in your complaints. You know, somebody said, no need to complain. He said, if you complain, half the people don't care. The other half of the people are glad you finally got what was coming to you. Don't complain. God's not interested. The Jews murmured and complained out in the wilderness. Many of them died. That's not the way to come to God. God came in there and hit Job, allowed the devil to hit Job in his possessions and in his health. And Job never charged God foolishly with his mouth. He didn't complain about that situation. So why should you? And why should I? I have a very dear friend of mine who's 88 now. Health is not good like it used to be, and he's pretty much there in the house. I go to see him quite frequently. And every time I go to see him, first thing he asks me is, how you feeling? Well, I'm there to ask him how he's doing. He wants to know, how you feeling? I said, well, I'm doing fine. He said, that's good. That's what it's all about. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And then he said this. Then he says this. He said, I have no complaints. I have no complaints. He said, there's very little about my life that I would change. And I have no complaints. Woo! Isn't that great to be 88 years old and no complaints? So quit complaining. God's not interested. God's not going to respond to that. He said, let your request be made known unto God. Frame it in the voice of a prayer and be done with it. Amen? All right, now what's the consequence of this? What great thing is going to happen to you if you do that? Well, here's the benefit. You get peace. You get peace from those prayers. And remember, now where does that peace affect you? Well, it affects you in your heart and it affects you in your mind. And it's a peace that passeth all understanding. You can't understand it. The doctors can't understand it. The psychologists can't understand it unless they're saved. Psychiatrists can't understand it. Nobody can understand it. It passeth all understanding. And it will minister to your mind and it'll minister to your heart. But now keep in mind something. Don't think you can be praying over these matters and living a wicked life and expect to have peace, because the Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. In order to have peace with God, you got to have three things. I mean, while you're doing these prayers, keep these three things in mind. You got to have purity, righteousness, and you got to give glory to God. Because the wisdom that cometh from above is first pure, then peaceable. You got to have purity, pure thoughts, pure actions, pure motives. You got to have righteousness. King Melchizedek, remember him? The king of Salem? First being, by interpretation, the king of righteousness, and then the king of peace. You've got to have righteousness before you can have peace. Now, you get that righteousness in Jesus Christ, but after that, you've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness and live right. When you're not living right, you're not going to have peace. And you got to give glory to God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, there was a heavenly host that made proclamation about his birth, and they said very clearly and hopefully very understandably to you and to me, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not goodwill toward men of peace. Didn't say that. That's the wishful thinking of men. He said glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. First glory to God, then you get the peace. The trouble with the earth is God doesn't get the glory, so we don't have peace. We have war. All right. The benefit of praying over everything, and in those really desperate times, humbly and earnestly praying, and giving thanks for everything, and not complaining to God, you'll get peace that passeth all understanding, as long as you're living in purity, righteousness, and giving glory to God. Okay? And that peace will keep your heart. Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That'll keep your heart better than any heart medicine. And it'll keep your mind better than any mind-altering drugs, better than any types of meditation and other types of things. Keep your heart and your mind. And you know what? In the final analysis, you won't be worrying anymore. So quit your worrying. Quit your worrying. Learn instead to pray. And leave it with God. Learn instead, in those really desperate times, to be humble before the Lord in earnest till you see God come through. Learn always when those thoughts of worry come up to be thankful instead. And then learn always not to complain about anything. Don't complain. And particularly don't complain to God. God's not interested, and you shouldn't be running off your mouth complaining to other people anyway. You might need to encourage them instead of draw them down in discouragement through your complaints. And you do those four things, living a pure, righteous, and life that brings glory to God. And let me tell you something. You can expect, as a promise of God, to have peace in your heart and your mind that passeth all understanding. And I pray that you will. I pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.